So tonight we'll take up case number 3 in the Hekigenroku, Sun Face Buddha, Moon Face Buddha. Deciding on this koan, I was thinking back on the last couple of weeks. Two of my dear friends, Steve and John, came for 4 days. They got married 2 weeks ago and decided that instead of going off by themselves, they would go around the country and visit people they loved. And so it was a wonderful 4 days. We laughed, we ate, we had great fun. There was also a kind of bittersweet quality to it, too. A week before they got married, Steve's cancer came back. It had gone to his brain and his liver. So there was sadness along with the joy. I also went to Vermont to be with my dad. As most of you know, he'll be 100 in September. He's blind, and he was getting out of the shower, and the caretaker had forgotten to put down a mat, and his bad knee went out from under him, and he fell. And so he has not been able to walk since then. It doesn't seem to be healing very well. But he keeps saying over and over, it just shouldn't have happened. Shouldn't have happened. Also, 2 weeks ago, my dear Dharma sister of 40 years called, and she's just been diagnosed with Alzheimer's. So that was just sort of what was happening in my little world. Many things not expected. You know, we expect a lot from the world, and when our expectations aren't met, we suffer. It's just how it goes. What expectations do you have? Are you even aware of the enormity of your expectations? What causes you sadness, pain, dukkha, unsatisfactoriness? And then just look, what underlies that suffering? What's the expectation you have that it should be otherwise? So there's a wonderful koan that offers a place to enter our lives no matter what, when expectations are met and exceeded, or when expectations are dashed. So tonight, we'll look at case number 3 of the Blue Cliff Record, Sun Face Buddha, Moon-Faced Buddha. Here's the introduction. It starts out, each ki and every kyo. So ki is when a bow is fully drawn and it takes the form of a full moon, there's like a tremendous energy there, a potential. And this is what is seen as the Zen spirit, the ki. And releasing that, and the action of discharging that energy, is kyo. Basso says, I move my eyebrows to demonstrate the Zen spirit. So here is the introduction. Each ki and every kyo, every word and phrase, is a means for the moment of leading students to realization. But such manipulation is like performing an operation on a healthy body and will give rise to complications. In Zen, we speak of delusion as an illness. This illness is the idea of what? A failure, mistake, punishment. This is not enough. I'm not enough. Fix me. Things must be corrected. Can you really cure your history? Can you get different parents? We're given problems that have no solutions. Sure, we might be able to come to overcome certain mental habits. That helps. But it says here, it's like performing an operation on a healthy body. We say here, Zen is not a self-improvement project. Even the great Bodhisattva Kannon, the Bodhisattva of compassion, she who hears the cries of the world, she who has 1,000 arms, each holding a different upaya, a different skillful means to come to the aid of others, will give rise to complication upon complication. So, it goes on to say, the great way manifests itself naturally. It is limited by no fixed rules. Are you thinking, I get it. Just kick back. Relax. No rules. Do what I want. Kind of beat Zen approach. Then it says, but I must tell you that there is an advanced theme you will have to learn. Not so fast. The other side of the coin revealed. So, the great way manifests itself naturally. It is limited by no fixed rules. But I must tell you, there is an advanced theme that you will have to learn. It presides over heaven and earth. However, if you try to guess at it, you'll be confused. This can be right, and that also can be right. It is so delicate. This cannot be right, and that also cannot be right. An unapproachable cliff face. How could you manage without stumbling here and there? Study the following. So this introduction was the pointer. It's the pointer to the main case. Here's the main case. The great master Basso was seriously ill. The head monk asked him, "How are you feeling these days?" The master said, "Sun-faced Buddha, moon-faced Buddha." Now, Basso was known as a Zen master with great energy. He was Yakujo's teacher. And Yakujo was Obako's teacher, who was the teacher of Rinzai. So we owe a great debt in this lineage to this energetic master called Basso. But in this koan, Basso is dying. How are you feeling? Sun-faced Buddha, moon-faced Buddha. It said the sun-faced Buddha lived 1,800 years. The moon-faced Buddha lived only a day and a night. So at one level, this koan seems pretty clear, simple. Not easy to live, but pretty easy to understand. Sometimes you feel healthy, clear, energetic, happy. Sometimes you feel sick, confused, lazy, sad. Whatever happens, happens. La-di-da, la-di-da. This attitude is too cut off. It's not involved. It's isolated. It's a kind of a whatever. Also, sick, confused, lazy. It's not the enemy. We don't have to go to war. Nothing is outside ourselves. Sun-faced Buddha, moon-faced Buddha, Buddha is always Buddha. This is not about sometimes this, sometimes that. Basso was not saying, sometimes I'm in pain, sometimes I'm not. This was not a comment on a self. The question is not, What is the right attitude to take to what's happening in my life? The question is, how do I find a place to enter here, no matter what? Impermanence and the suffering that it causes is a truth that we must bring to bear on our daily, moment-to-moment life. This is why we practice. Face it, we know how it's going to end. The Buddha told us, old age, sickness, death. If you're looking for meditation to help you escape, good luck. Well, I wouldn't include this in an infomercial for Zen, but the truth is, in the end, nothing will work and you will die. So why practice? We practice because Zen is about life. Our practice brings us to an acceptance of the fact that stuff happens, whether we expect it or not. Think back on your life. What if you only got what you expected, what you hoped for, what you dreamed of? I, for one, am so grateful I didn't get the life I kept projecting. Disappointment after disappointment, mistake after mistake, I learned to come home to this sun-faced Buddha, moon-faced Buddha world. When you encounter this koan, you have to be in accord with the living words, sun-faced Buddha, moon-faced Buddha. Enter there. Our zazen will not cure us of anything. We expect too much. We expect a lot from this zazen before awakening and after awakening. Before awakening, we want something else, something better. After awakening, we might think we understand something and we're still far, far away from realizing it in our sun-faced Buddha, moon-faced Buddha daily life. Seicho wrote a verse that points directly to the essence of this koan. It says, sun-faced Buddha, moon-faced Buddha, compared with them, how pale the three sacred sovereigns, the five ancestral emperors. For 20 years I have had fierce struggles, descending to the dragon's cave for you. The hardship defies description. You clear-eyed monks, don't make light of it. Let's look closely. Sun-faced Buddha, moon-faced Buddha, compared with them, how pale the three sacred sovereigns, the five ancestral emperors. In mythological times, the three sovereigns were three sages that taught people how to live. And the five ancestral emperors developed states where people lived blissfully throughout long ages. We've been studying the six realms on the wheel of cyclic existence. This sounds like the realm of delusion called the God realm. Sun-faced Buddha, moon-faced Buddha, this is where the living, beating heart of Zen practice manifests in your life, right here, right now, just the way it is. Compared with this, how pale the three sacred sovereigns, the five ancestral emperors. Then it says, for 20 years I have had fierce struggles, descending in the dragon's cave for you. This practice is not easy, and it is not an escape from anything. Descending into the dragon's cave refers to a legend that there is a hidden dragon at the bottom of the ocean. The dragon guards the treasure. Anyone who wants to attain it must dive into the depths and wrest it from the dragon. The Blue Dragon Cave is a place of despair, confusion, where many spend most of their lives trying to escape. Practice shows us this cave. It takes great courage to do this practice. It takes great courage to enter this place of sun-faced Buddha, moon-faced Buddha. There are struggles. It is here that you meet yourself. In the beginning, it takes courage and willingness. You learn that the illness is the medicine. Then it says, the hardship defies description. You clear-eyed monks, don't make light of it. When we look at our experience, we see it through the lens of the self. We carry this added-on self to our spiritual practice. As human beings, even after great awakenings, we carry that I. I experienced emptiness. I understand all is one. I realize the sun-faced Buddha, moon-faced Buddha. Hakuin says, there will be a lot of fatalities if people take a view of emptiness to be the sun-faced Buddha. So what's to be done? This may sound discouraging and difficult, but remember, first, you're operating on a healthy body. Second, there's no one to be healed. Third, everything you need is presented before you. Enter there. Just hold to your practice. It's simpler than you think. We'll end there tonight.